Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK News for Monday, December 22nd. I'm Olivia Rose. The Wrangell Volunteer Fire Department responded to a fire at the Nugget Trailer Court last Friday morning. There were no reported injuries. Fire Chief Jordan Bunis says when his crew arrived at 1:04 a.m., the trailer was engulfed in flames. It took about 9 minutes from the initial dispatch call for the first fire engine to arrive on scene.
The homeowner reported that it originated near the wood stove, and he had just delivered a fresh trailer load of wood that was stored underneath the carport, basically right behind the wood stove. So we had a very heavy fuel load of nice dry firewood.
17 volunteer firefighters and 2 fire engines responded to the blaze. A squad van and an ambulance also assisted. He says the fire burned for about an hour, and the crew was on scene for nearly 4 hours total. At 8:10 a.m., they accessed hot spots underneath the trailer.
We knew that there was still some smoldering underneath the trailer when we left at almost 5 o'clock this morning, and we made the decision to come back and get all our equipment back thawed out again and get everybody some clean, dry clothes, and then we went back out there shortly after daylight.
Bunis says the trailer downside of the fire was not occupied at the time, but one window was damaged as well as paint discoloration. The neighboring trailer uphill was occupied, but the family safely evacuated early on. Their trailer sustained damage to a few windows, and some of the plastic railing on the deck melted. A small amount of fire was burning in the attached chicken coop when the firefighters arrived, but no chickens were in there. Bunis says he's working on a report that will be submitted to the state of Alaska. The state is in the early stages of crafting a new plan to guide decisions about Southeast Alaska transit for the next 2 decades. During 2 virtual open houses last week, residents raised a long list of specific projects and broader issues. As Avery Elfelt reports for the Alaska Desk, many comments revolved around more reliable ferry service and the controversial Cascade Point Ferry Terminal project.
The State Department of Transportation and Public Facilities says it will draft a plan for Southeast by the end of summer 2026 and finalize it by this time next year. The document will cover all communities from Yakutat to Metlakatla. The new version would mark the first complete overhaul in more than 20 years, says Jill Melcher, DOT's South Coast Planning Chief.
The last adopted plan was in 2004, and an unofficial update was done in 2014 that captured changes over 10 years. Our region has changed significantly since 2014, and it's time for an update.
Agency staff say that in the early stages, a handful of themes have already emerged. They range from ferry reliability to resiliency amid climate change. Now, the state is asking for public input, both via email and during town halls. The agency held 2 virtual ones this week. Mike Jackson in Cake raised sporadic ferry service in his community. He said the state has said Cake rarely gets ferries, in part because its terminal can't accommodate larger ships. He said there's been talk about updating the terminal with new catwalks to change that.
So that is one of the things we talked about doing here, but if there's a way to better serve Cake somehow, we sure would appreciate it.
Participants also talked about the need for float plane dock maintenance and more airport parking. One raised the need for restoring ferry service from Ketchikan to Prince Rupert, British Columbia. Haines local Patty Brown asked about the state's ongoing study of what it would cost to build a road on the west side of the Lynn Canal to, at least in theory, better connect Haines and Skagway to Juneau. She wanted to know how that might be incorporated into the 20-year plan. South Coast Region Director Christopher Goins replied that the study would wrap up in January.
Based on that, we'll look at the data, work with this team, and depending on what we see from leadership, include or not include that going forward.
But it was a related project that kept coming up during the town hall, the Cascade Point Ferry Terminal. The state says building a new terminal north of Juneau would cut costs and ease travel between Haines, Skagway, and the capital city. The idea has drawn fire from residents in all 3 communities who say the state should prioritize improving ferry service instead. When Wendy Anderson of Skagway made that point in the town hall's virtual chat, Goins responded that the agency does believe the terminal would reduce travel times. Otherwise, he stressed that Cascade Point would not replace the Ock Bay terminal for most passengers.
There will be mainline service that continues up once a week. What is moving would be the trips to Haines and Skagway from Cascade Point.
At least two other comments came in regarding Cascade Point. One asked about funding for the project. The other dubbed the planned terminal a, quote, shameful waste of taxpayer dollars. Agency staff and contractors thanked participants for their comments and encouraged the public to keep them coming. Comments can be submitted at seatp@dowl.com. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
The owner of Sitka's Cruise Dock wants to relocate his downtown bus stop and build a pedestrian pathway with shopping, food vendors, and housing nearby. But as KCAW's Catherine Rose reports, the city's planning commission has signaled it intends to deny the request.
Sitka's Cruise Dock is about 6 miles away from the center of town. That means on any given summer day, hundreds to thousands of cruise passengers hop on a tour bus for a round trip to the city's convention center and visitor hub, Harrigan Centennial Hall. But Sitka Dock Company owner Chris McGraw wants to move the shuttle's drop-off point to private property on Oya Way, with plans to develop the area into a bus depot. At the Sitka Planning Commission meeting on December 17th, McGraw requested a conditional use permit for the proposal, which would give him the green light to develop two lots on Oya Way. Reading from a prepared statement, McGraw said the plan would mean fewer buses on the road each day and less congestion and pollution downtown.
It would honestly be much easier for me to keep things exactly the way they are. I currently pay about $25,000 a year to use Centennial Hall for my shuttle operations, and I could simply continue operating here without investing anything further. Instead, I'm investing a significant amount of money in this proposed new shuttle drop-off location because I believe we can do better than the status quo.
McGraw said the plan wasn't about growth, but about management and improving safety.
I'm trying to be part of the solution, asking you to work with me to help improve conditions to allow me to improve the interaction between the cruise ship passengers that visit Sitka every summer and the community.
More than 20 people voiced opposition to the project at the meeting. Tommy Joseph's home abuts the property, and he said he'd likely leave if the project was approved.
It's 35 inches from the corner of my house to the corner of the property line, zero lot line. My kitchen window, the fence is right there. You put an 8-foot fence up, it's going to be 2 feet taller than where it's at right now. And a chain link fence isn't going to stop any of the poisonous particulates that are going to land in my garden, in my house. I'm not going to be able to live there anymore. I'm going to have to leave this place. For one business, my business has to go.
Joseph was one of several who voiced concerns about the air quality from the bus traffic and particulates in the air impacting food sources, like the nearby Pacific High School garden. Many worried about the depot's proximity to schools and the increase in traffic and noise. Ariella Hughes, who lives nearby, said it would change the fabric of the neighborhood.
That is not what the downtown of Sitka is about. It's not about housing buses. We already have so many tourists. Great. Good for the economy. Excellent. But, you know, people like Tommy, these are real people living right there. And they will be driven out. You know they will. Who could stand? Would you want to live next to that? I wouldn't. No way.
After a very detailed presentation on the application, Planning and Community Development Director Amy Ainsley clarified what the Planning Commission could consider when making their decision to approve or deny it. Ainsley said either way, they'd want to gather more information to bolster their call before the decision is finalized.
This is a complex proposal and complex permit, and I want to make sure that we take the time to really make sure that both the conditions and the findings are accurate, enforceable, robust, clear from the record. And I do not feel comfortable doing that tonight.
Commissioner Wendy Alderson said she didn't feel the proposal met the land use objectives in the city's comprehensive plan. She said that while the application was for a public transportation facility, the bus service is actually private. Commissioner Robin Sherman said she appreciated some aspects of the proposal, like cutting back on congestion on Harbor Drive, but she didn't know how they could prevent the development from evolving the neighborhood into a more commercial and seasonal area.
Unlike some of the other communities that have heavy cruise ship tourism, our downtown is not a ghost town. In you know, the off season when the cruise ships aren't here. And I don't know how to mitigate the impacts of what this use would do in the summer to the mix of property uses year round.
Ultimately, the commission moved to deny the conditional use permit application, and pending staff findings, will finalize that decision at its meeting in January. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
Cold winter air can really dry out skin, and in Alaska, extra cold air can make the problem worse. For Alaska Public Media's new series, Alaska Survival Kit, Hannah Floor learns how to keep your skin hydrated even when the temperatures dip.
Mackenzie Rose spends a lot of time putting on lotion in the winter.
I feel like people with really dry skin live on like a different plane of existence.
Her husband, Simon, does not live on that same plane. And he doesn't use moisturizer.
I wonder, Mackenzie, if you were to go a week without using any of your lotions and potions, like what your skin would look like.
It would look like a desiccated, shriveled up gardening glove that was like left out over winter that you've just uncovered underneath like 3 feet of snow.
Mackenzie says moisturizer makes a huge difference. Simon says it's a scam. Full disclosure, these two are my roommates. I hear this kind of thing a lot. I try not to take sides. But still, I did wonder, how much is in Mackenzie's head? Does winter weather really make your skin drier? My face has been feeling very tight lately. I think it's time to ask someone who knows what they're talking about. I visit a dermatologist.
Are you here for Dr. Miller?
Dr. Janine Miller owns Miller Dermatology in Anchorage. She says dry skin is common during cold Alaskan winters.
As it gets colder outside, the humidity drops. It's not very good for your skin.
Miller says just how much the dry air affects you comes down to genetics. Everyone is different. For people with dry skin, she says, there's a lot you can do and avoid doing. After my appointment, I have 4 big takeaways. And because I personally like to hear bad news first, I'm going to start with the bummer. Here's number 1.
In the wintertime, I recommend against very hot showers.
Lukewarm is best. I know. I don't want to believe it either. But Miller says that hot water is stripping moisture from your skin. Takeaway 2 is equally as surprising to me. Miller says lotion is actually not your friend. I was confused, but it turns out that moisturizer is not synonymous with lotion. Lotion is a kind of moisturizer, a kind that Miller does not recommend.
I'm not saying that every single lotion is bad, but on average, most lotions have some type of alcohol derivative in them, and that is what tends to dry out the skin or irritate the skin in the winter.
Instead of lotion, look for thicker, unscented creams or ointments, or Miller's favorite, oil in a spray bottle. She uses jojoba. She says it's the closest thing to the oils our bodies produce. And Miller says timing is key.
As soon as you are done showering, while your skin is still damp, still moist, apply your moisturizer.
Next up, takeaway 3. Hydrate from the outside in by using a humidifier.
I explain to my patients that it's really important to do it at night because it's usually about 8 hours where they can be in a humidified environment.
Our final takeaway is all about keeping the moisture in once you've managed to hydrate your skin. Miller says a petroleum-based ointment like Aquaphor or Vaseline can act as a barrier.
How much are we talking here? Is it like I run across somebody out on the trails and I'm like, what happened?
They've got a shiny face. Yeah. Some people shiny face it.
Miller says it's not necessary to goop it on. A thin layer will do. And it's not for everyone. It can cause breakouts for acne-prone skin. At home, Mackenzie's excited to hear what I learned from the dermatologist. I'm a little nervous. I already checked her lotion. It has alcohol. I sit her down. Her husband, Simon, listens in, invested. I try to break it to her gently.
Dr. Miller does not recommend using lotions.
What? How come?
Because alcohol is drying.
What? Wait, so I've been drying out my skin this whole time?
We read the labels on Mackenzie's products and on mine. I tell her about shiny facing it and humidifiers and hot showers. I play her bits of my conversation with Miller. Simon wanders off to bed. Mackenzie says, yeah, she feels betrayed by her lotions and potions, but she's also excited to do a little shopping. Now she knows what she's looking for. Some things, though, won't change.
Will you be taking lukewarm showers?
That's a hard no.
I'm with her on that one. In Anchorage, I'm Hannah Floor.
For KFSK, I'm Olivia Rose.